Welcome to the Fundraising Leadership Podcast, episode 10. And today we have a special episode because joining David and Sylvia and me is our friend, Allison Howell Quinton, who's the Chief Development Officer at Camp Ujigayis here in Toronto. Welcome, Allison.
Thank you.
Yeah, welcome. Welcome. And we invited you, Allison, to our podcast today because we know you well. And we know that you've been rising up, climbing up the leadership ladder of life, both professionally and personally. And we wanted to explore for the audience, like what you've learned. You know, you've had two leadership transitions in the last few years and your first leadership role and then taking on a really and building a really big team at Camp Ooch. So we wanted to hear a little bit about like what you've learned and what you might do differently and knowing what you know now.
Well, firstly, thank you so much for inviting me. This is exciting to be part of. Great questions. When I look back, I think I'm still learning, and I think that's the joy and beauty of any leadership journey, is that there's always so many people to learn from, so many ways to approach it. So it's been quite a journey. And if I look back at the last few years in the role I'm in now, it's been a great journey, growing a team from about 7 to 18 now. I think the best advice I would give myself, starting this role again, or other leaders that are taking a plunge into greater things, is don't be susceptible to the busyness plague. I recall when I first started, you know, saying yes to every meeting and doing all the evening dinners and events and weekends. And really, you can burn out quickly. And I think in our culture, busyness is a sign of importance. But stopping back and saying, wait a minute, I need to be really clear with myself and with my team and with my family, what's important to me so that I can say yes more fully to the things that matter and say no to the things that don't really feel like they're on purpose. And trust my instinct in terms of how I spend my time and about what people care about and think about, and say yes more wholeheartedly and say no and delegate when I don't need to. So that's one piece.
Well, I want to just pause there and acknowledge you, because I know, you know, that you have other parts of your life. Like when you took on this role at Camp Ooch, you know, you had two small children, you had a husband who was going through his own professional life and development and houses and, you know, just so much. And it, in the nonprofit world, you know, we see more and more women rising to levels of leadership, and there are lots of things to juggle and lots of things in our lives, family and motherhood and being a spouse. So I just want to acknowledge you for sharing, like, you know, that you learned from that.
Absolutely. Thank you for that acknowledgement, and still learning how to juggle and how to keep all those parts whole so that I can show up for work and for family with a playful and open-hearted mind. Yeah. Mm.
And I like what you're saying, Allison, because what I'm kind of hearing from you is that you're becoming more aware of who you are and what's important to you.
Yes.
And I would like to hear a bit more about that. What's important to you that represents who you are, Allison?
Well, that's a great question. And when I was thinking about advice to give to myself, being yourself was one of those things at the top of my list. Because I think when you're a young professional looking for more responsibilities, it's easy to think I must be professional and I must show up in this way and I must wear this suit and I must. And reconnecting with your values and your personal sense of what's important in the world has been a critical part of my learning, to show up and be yourself, because that's the best way to connect with people, with authentic values-driven frame of mind. So what's important? I think people. That's ultimately what I know. I love connecting with people. I love kids, not just my own, but I love seeing when the world gives them opportunities to flourish. It's so fulfilling. And having a sense, living on purpose, I think, is what matters to me. Yeah. Does that answer your question, Sylvia?
Absolutely. I think I just have more and more questions to ask you because I feel like, I don't know if you could just share a piece of your life at work where you felt your values were being highly represented and you were putting yourself and your essence in the center of it. Can you think of any specific situation you could share?
Sure. I think I had a great call with a potential donor yesterday who's been sort of flirting with her involvement with the organization. And just showed up as myself without any agenda, other than getting to know her better, and really connected as humans and understood her sense of vulnerability in a fundraising capacity, which I hear all the time with potential volunteers who love an organization but feel like, I don't want to put myself out there and be at risk for what people think. Really acknowledged that and found a way that we could partner together so that she could share her love of the mission of Camp Ooch. And I could support her in the work that she doesn't like to do. So enabling her to say no to what she doesn't want to do and enabling her to say yes to what matters to her. And so we both left the conversation with bigger possibilities than I think either of us may have gone in if we had an agenda, if I was just thinking, I want to ask her for this or this or this. And that's a really exciting feeling. Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. So what would be your next piece of advice, Allison, that you would give to your younger self and or any of our listeners who are finding themselves in the exciting position of a new leadership role?
Yeah, trust your instincts. They're there for a good reason. That whole fight or flight survival instinct. Listen, tap into what's going on around you and trust that you have a compass in there and find it, I think, is helpful. A lot of people are going to give you advice and mentorship and maybe squash your sense of what you feel is right and true, but try and tap into that and listen and speak your truth. I think it can be hard as a young leader to come into a situation. And when you look at the Canadian context, there's 85,000 charities of all different shapes and sizes, and not all of them have the same maturity in their development program. So sometimes you have to come in and speak a hard truth, like, I don't think that's a realistic budget, or we haven't earned the right to ask that question yet. It's going to take some time. And it's not always a message that lands well. So, but it's important to be honest and speak your truth. Mm. Even if it's hard.
Especially when it's hard.
Well, there's something in this conversation that's striking me. And I know the audience, this is not a video cast, but but what I notice about you, Allison, is like when you first started out and I got to know you in this new role, you were very buttoned down. And now, like, even to the point of your hairstyle, like, your hairstyle now is so, like, crazy. It's just, like, I love it. It's, like, you're, like, totally embodying, like, that playfulness that I know is inside you. And I see that as more of your authentic self coming out.
Thanks. Yeah. You gotta live your truth. Yeah. And embrace the hair.
Embrace the hair. I'm with you on that. Totally.
Oh.
Yeah. So what's like, you started pointing in that last comment toward a topic that you and I have explored in the Conscious Leadership Tribe around, you know, candor. We have an ongoing conversation around candor. But even before we go there, I was wondering if there's anything else, like, one little more little nugget, like just a tiny nugget of gold you want to give to new leaders out there?
Yeah. Does it have to just be one, David? No, I'm teasing.
It could be a whole pan full of Yukon gold, if you like.
Yeah, I think there are a couple of nuggets. One that I heard at a conference that I put together, a session at an AFP Congress that I put together many, many moons ago. I brought together some women executives from the nonprofit sector and the for-profit sector and grilled them on their best pieces of advice for how do you juggle it all and how do you manage it. One of the executives from CIBC shared, be kind to yourself, and especially be kind to others, because you meet the same people on the way up as you do on the way down. And it's a great piece of advice to keep you grounded and realize that everybody is in your life for some kind of purpose, and just treating people with dignity is so critical. Mm. It sounds simple, but it resonated for me. The other piece of advice I would have is the social profit or nonprofit sector is the third largest industry in Canada. Billions and billions of dollars. It's increasingly complex. You look at the structures and the expectations the public has of what it is that we're doing, and you pair that with the demographic shift. So the swift retirement a lot of the leaders that helped to start this sector, the rising tide of leadership from younger professionals. So it's a really interesting time. And there's not the same kinds of support systems for growing leadership capacity in the nonprofit sector. Mm. So I know for myself and for the folks that I've worked closely with, sort of defining your own journey and enrolling people in it has been critical. So whether those are coaches, paid or otherwise, mentors, sponsors that can really help you identify how to grow in your career and what your how to check your mirrors, what your blind spots might be, where you might need to grow. Peers who've done these kinds of things before. Enrolling people has been critical to me. And I know when I started at Camp Ooch, I enrolled several of you to help with the strengths deployment inventory work that we did to understand motivational values on my team so that we could better align and be more on purpose. Mm-hmm. I started a chief development officer group and went out and reached high and recruited some of the most talented fundraising leaders in Toronto to help join in a circle of kinship to talk about challenges that we faced uniquely. So those are the kinds of things that were really helpful and continue to be really helpful mm-hmm. for me.
Yeah. Alison, something I can strongly feel your power of love, your power of being a very humble woman. I can feel the power of being humble and also ambitioning something that is greater than yourself. I can strongly feel that. How would you like, Alison, to be remembered as a leader?
That's a big question.
I know. That's why I'm asking that one to you now.
I love that you're asking it. How would I like to be remembered? I think what's really important to me is in each of the organizations that I've worked for, I've been really passionate about the cause. And I think that's important for fundraisers to get behind it and to care deeply and personally and be personally invested. I want to leave each organization that I am part of stronger than when I found it, and to look back and say, I made a difference. I made an impact. I wasn't just a cog in the wheel, but I actually helped move from A to B and impacted people's lives. So that's and got to work with a lot of amazing people along the way and have fun.
Yeah.
That's definitely a big part of who you are, Alison. Having worked with you, I know that you like to bring the fun to work. So let's, I do want to bring us to where David was pointing us to sort of, because we all believe in the importance of candor. And I think that is something that is much needed in our sector. So let's.
Yeah. And before we go there, I want to pick up on something you said about kindness, Alison. And so I love that sort of golden rule orientation. And there is a belief that you can't be candid and kind. And so we want to debunk that a little bit here, because Janice, Sylvie, and I are going to do some work over the summer in an online course about, you know, having radically candid conversations. And you can care personally and challenge directly. That's so part of it. And so you can still be kind and candid.
Yeah. In fact, I think often we think we're being kind by not saying something, but especially as a manager, I mean, if you have someone on your team who, you know, is behaving in some way that is actually limiting their potential, that the kindest thing is to, you know, actually, you know, with respect and love to point that out to them. But that, you know, I think that can be really difficult. I think in this sector, sometimes our problems around conflict are not so much having conflict, it's actually the avoidance of conflict. So we'd love to hear from you, Allison, like what's your stand on that?
Absolutely. I think giving feedback is a gift. It's important to be able to point out in the moment or very shortly after in a private setting, hey, this is, here's where I saw you really succeed and I saw this come out. And also, here's where I see that there might be something you need to work on here. Or here's a strength that you really have. And sometimes when you push it too far, this is how you're perceived. So it's really important to be able to share that with folks so they can grow. It's really in service of their capacity to grow as professionals and leaders and people that it's important to give feedback and to ask for it and to role model it. I can remember one of the most awkward team meetings I have ever had where I asked, we talked about gossip actually, eliminating gossip and moving in the direction of specific, timely, directional feedback instead. And that was a request that I made of my team to speak directly with the person that they are having conflict with or having concerns with. And to offering support if they were not unable to do that directly in a facilitated manner. It was quiet after I made that request, like crickets. but I think it was an important role that I needed to play in order for folks to feel the confidence, but also the expectation that, hey, we're grown-ups here. I expect us all to show up that way and to give each other the feedback that we need to grow and to get along.
Yeah, so I know we talked before the start of the call that you have been practicing an exercise in your organization. So why don't you share that with the audience on how they can stretch into this these candid conversations?
Absolutely. A great tool from one of the books, David, you introduced me to is The 15 Commitments of Conscious Leadership. Is all about practicing candor. So a framework that's been really helpful where you own your thoughts and feelings is by starting a sentence saying, I think, I feel, or I know, or I see. So really owning it. So an example could be, I feel, I'm just trying to think, I feel misunderstood when I come out of that meeting and I observe that people were speaking over me. Or, you know, I feel so excited after speaking with that that donor who I think loves us. Yeah, so that framework has been really helpful, and it's something that I've shared with colleagues that I work with so that they have a tool to be able to use and to practice because it doesn't come naturally all the time. And if I may offer a challenge to listeners to try this out.
Yeah, so just remind them, so what the exercise is and how did you set it up? Just a couple words on like, how did you set it up on your team to make it safe for these types of conversations to happen?
Sure. We had a senior management meeting where all of our people managers came together and did like a 40-minute workshop on the importance of feedback. We had gotten some information that we needed to have a more open feedback both directions. So talked about why it's important, how we can practice it, that personally caring and also candidly sharing, and different ways to provide that feedback. So we got, we had some discussions, we practiced sharing feedback in teams of twos with real subjects, and we allowed folks to choose personal or professional, however they wanted to do that. And then asked folks to try out, I think, I feel, I know, and in their pairs, providing feedback about how it was being received, and then debriefed afterwards how it felt for folks to actually use that framework. And it's been great. In team meetings since then, I've heard folks use that framework, and then we'll stop and name it and say, and give them a bit of like a boost. Nice job. I see you practicing that. Keep it up. Yeah.
Yeah. So anything else, Sylvia or Janice, while we still have our exquisite leader with us today?
Just want to say thank you again to Allison. And, you know, I've had the privilege of working, having Allison as my manager in the past, and, you know, now having Allison as, you know, a dear friend of mine. So I just appreciate, we knew that it would be great for people to, you know, hear your wisdom and be inspired by you. So thanks for your time.
Yeah. Thank you for being real so much, Allison. I think the message for our audience is that when you are real, you have fun and you leave a print on the people around you. That's what I'm really learning from you, Allison. So thank you very much. I love you already.
I love you too, Sylvia. Thank you.
Well, so that's it for the podcast today. So remember, the exercise is I think, I feel, and I know or I observe. So now go put it into practice.
Thanks.
All right. Bye.
Bye
now.
Bye.